Proverbs that deal with the subject of the virtue of good companionship and the danger and hazard of evil and sinful association. And the Proverbs that we'll be looking at speak of the extreme importance of avoiding bad company, being able to identify bad company. A lot of people seem to be unable to identify bad company. And then, of course, the importance of choosing good company. People generally are the company they keep, and they become the company they keep. Friendship and companionship, of course, are very powerful influence in forming our character, in forming our behavior. This is true because by nature we have a general desire to be agreeable with those who are companions, our friends. So influence is a very powerful force for good and for bad. So the question really is not whether there shall be outside influence. There shall be. The question is what that influence will be. Will it be good influence? Will it be bad influence? And the Bible, of course, gives many examples of both evil influence and good influence. In the book of 1 Kings, some examples of the influence of evil. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11, in verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old, and his wives turned away his heart after other gods. It shows the power of influence. Perhaps they wore him down through the years. Through the years, I'm sure they did. Also notice chapter 21, verse 25. Chapter 21, verse 25. There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. And he was bad enough, of course, a character. Then he had a wife whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. She had influence over him. Not that Ahab, of course, was innocent, nor Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, in verse 6, and he, that is Jehoram, walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. But then notice what it says, and this is because she had influence. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, there are many examples of evil influence, and in the New Testament, there are many examples of the power of influence for good. We have to understand, according to Genesis 2 and verse 18, is God created us. And this is true of all of us. Doesn't matter what your personality is. This is true of everyone. God created man to be a social being. What he said in Genesis 2, verse 18 is true of everybody. And that is, it wasn't good for man to be alone. Man was not created to be in isolation. He was created, again, to be a social being. God intended him, created him to need people. And everyone does. Everyone needs people. Everyone needs companionship. There are those who would deny that, but it's just not so. Everyone needs some personal interaction in their lives. And because of these needs, and because there are people that are good for us, and there are people that are bad for us, and we have this need of companionship, we have this need of interaction, that means there's also a great need to properly evaluate, to properly discern who is good for us. Because not everybody is good for us. That's even so, though it perhaps should not be, that is even so amongst God's people. There are certain people, even amongst the saved, that just are not good for one another. They bring out the worst and in one another. And they may be members of the same church, they may even believe the same truths. But we just simply have to realize that some people are not good for us. And that being said, we're probably not good for everybody either. So we need to keep these things in mind. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, this proverb contains an encouragement. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's an encouragement. That's a promise. There's also a warning. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see the power of influence both in the encouragement, and you see the power of influence in the warning also. So there is influence for good. There is influence for bad. But notice the encouragement. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. To walk throughout the Bible, this isn't just talking about every now and then. It's not talking about an occasion. This speaks of a habit, a routine, a pattern of life. The individual who has the habit, the routine, and it is their pattern, it is their matter of course to walk with wise men, that individual shall be wise. Now, Amos 3 and verse 3 ask the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Not for too long. Oh, you might be able to for a very short while. But the truth is, you cannot walk together with somebody for a very long period of time and not be in agreement with them. So, to walk implies agreement. It implies fellowship. It implies compatibility. Not everyone is compatible. It implies like-mindedness. And what we fail to realize many times, it implies endorsement. So you have to be careful who you walk with. You may be endorsing something that should not be endorsed. So we must be very careful who we walk with. So to walk with wise men is to make it our routine. It is to make it our manner of course, to be in agreement, to be in fellowship with the wise, to be under the example of wise men. Who are the wise? Well, the book of Proverbs identifies the wise as those who reverence the Lord, those who have a reverence for God. Those are the people that we ought to walk with. The Bible teaches that the wise individual are those who have their priorities in order. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches in Matthew 7 that the wise man is the one who hears and obeys the word of the Lord. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The wise are those who walk by faith. The wise are those who are full of spiritual fruits, those who are able to discern between right and wrong, those who are able to discern between truth and error. They are those who draw us closer to the Lord. They draw us closer to the Lord, but not only that, they draw us closer to being the people that God has called us to be. They encourage us to be the people that God has called us to be. These are the wise. And to walk with wise men is to love them. That is, you love being around them. If you do not love being around wise people, the ones we've just described, it's because you have character flaw. We're to love the company of the wise. We are to seek the company of the wise. We are to choose their company. All of this means, of course, that we must be able to identify the wise. We must be able to identify who they are. And then we make them our friends, and we fall in with them. We make it our routine. We make it our course of life to walk with wise men. And I believe that ought to always be the desire of God's people, to walk with wise men. Notice in Psalm 119, verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. And if you walk with the wise, you make that your routine, you make that your matter of course, and you will become wise. You will be under the influence of the wise. But we see here there's also a warning in Proverbs 13, but that is in contrast to those who walk with wise men. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now the word companion would be like the phrase walk with. We walk with the wise, or we become a companion of the foolish. And to be a companion of the foolish or the fool is to be in agreement with them. You can deny it all you want to. Well, I'm with that person all the time. We have a good time, but I don't agree with them. I don't believe a word of it. A companion of fools, there has to be agreement. There has to be agreement. That's why there's a lot of preachers today who say they believe one thing, but everybody they fellowship with doesn't believe that. So I'm sorry, I don't believe what they say they believe. Because birds of a feather flock together. But a companion of fools, that implies fellowship with fools. That implies compatibility with fools. If we're compatible with fools, what's that make us? Makes us a fool. Something is seriously wrong if you're compatible with a fool. If you're compatible with someone, and who's a fool? A fool is the opposite of the wise. The wise reverence God. A fool doesn't reverence God. Is that who you want to be compatible with? Well, we think alike. Well, that ought to scare you. To be a companion of fools means like-mindedness. And again, to be a companion of fools is an endorsement. Is an endorsement. So the word fools has reference to those who do not reverence the Lord, those who do not seek the ways of God. Instead, they seek the ways of the world. They neglect to hear the word of God. They live in disobedience to God, and we're not to be a companion. We're not to be a companion of the foolish. We're not to seek their company. We're not to choose their company. And though there will be times, you cannot avoid it in this world. This world is filled with such. So you cannot avoid coming into contact with them. And you might have to do business with them, and you might have to have some dealings with them, but do not become their companion in anything. I don't care what it is. You do not become their companion. Because the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And again, Psalm 1, verse 1. Begins with walking, before long it's standing, and before long it's sitting. There's a progression. So we have to be careful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Gives no exceptions, it's just a statement of fact. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I'll stop right there. That is not just referring to marriage. Certainly, marriage is included, but so is everything else. Business, everything. Everything is included in that word, in those words. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he begins to reason. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, there's no agreement. There's no compatibility. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the word fellowship, the word communion, the word concord, the word part, all of this speaks of compatibility. There's no compatibility here. And what agreement? Or again, compatibility. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, the saved, are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. That is, when you find yourself in their company, you do what you have to do as far as business or whatever it is, but then you leave it. You remain separate from them. You do not seek their friendship. Doesn't mean that you're rude to them. It doesn't mean that you're unfriendly to them. But you do not seek their friendship. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. Companionship with the ungodly throughout the Bible. There's many examples. Again, companion of fools shall be destroyed. Companionship with the ungodly leads to misery. Book of Numbers, chapter 33. Chapter 33, but leads to apostasy or a departing from God. It leads to the wrath or the judgment of God. So the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You may fall under the judgment of God. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest. Okay, so you have to be able to identify the foolish man. And how do we identify him? Well, here's one way it tells us right here. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You listen to him talk, and they blaspheme God. And they know nothing about truth. The Bible says, go from the presence of a foolish man. So once again, since man is a social being, we have to have some discernment concerning the character of others. And as soon as we perceive, by way of a foolish man's speech, as soon as we perceive that we are in the presence of a foolish man, the Bible says, go from the presence of such. That is, we're to withdraw. We're to withdraw. We're to take caution, lest we get caught up in their ways. And if you hang around with them long enough, you will. You may not go to the same lengths that they go to, but you will get caught up in some of their thinking. And it will have an influence, and not a positive influence, upon you. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, again, the Bible is very clear. And these are not things that the spiritually minded have any problem with. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, have no fellowship. Again, fellowship implies compatibility. It implies agreement. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You're with somebody. They are sinning. They are doing things that are abomination to God. You say, well, I'm not doing it. I'm just with them. You've endorsed it. You've endorsed it. And you are in some degree compatible with what they're doing. The truth is, if we have holiness within us, we can't stand it. We can't stand being around it. So we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Rebuke them. Well, I'll lose them as my friend. You're not to seek their friendship. Rebuke them. Reprove them. That's not the friendship that you're to be seeking anyway. So you rebuke such a thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, too many people are concerned about being liked. Too many people are concerned about being accepted. That's not what it's about. It's not about being liked. It's not about being accepted. It's about doing the work of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or by the authority of Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, if one walks disorderly, there must be a standard to say what is orderly and what is disorderly, and that is implied in the latter part of the verse, and not after the tradition, the teaching, which he received of us. If someone walks disorderly, they walk contrary to what the Bible says, we have a responsibility to withdraw ourselves from them. And a wise person will do just that. A wise person will have no difficulty doing that. A wise person will realize the necessity. It is absolutely necessary at times to withdraw from others because they do us no good. It's not that we don't, it's not about personal benefit. It's that they do us no good spiritually. And they walk in such a contrary way that if we continue with them, there must be some compatibility. So we are, our responsibility is to withdraw. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Verses 1 and 2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Is there something difficult? I don't mean to be smart aleck, but is there something difficult to understand about those words? Neither desire to be with them. You'll never get me to understand why a child of God, a member of one of the Lord's churches, would choose to go to a family reunion over being with God's people on God's day. You'll never get me to understand that. Especially if your family is anything like my family. You choose their company. You desire to be with them. You say, well, I got to because I want to be a witness to them. Who are you trying to kid? I mean, how much witnessing do you do at that family reunion? Be honest. It has nothing to do with it. It shows very poor judgment. So the Bible teaches us that we are not to desire to be with them. I don't care if it's my own dad. If he's a drunkard, I don't want to be with him. I would rather be with God's people. I don't care if it's my brother, my sister. You say, well, it's my relative. That has nothing to do with it. Neither desire to be with them. You should prefer the company of God's people. I had a cousin one time tell me, well, you would rather be with those church people in your own family. I said, you're right. You're 100% right. Because I don't want to be around people that are drinking and cursing. You're right about that. And I make no apology for that. You are 100% correct. Neither desire to be with them. So be not thou envious against evil men. There's a twofold exhortation here. Be not thou envious against evil men. That stresses the point that we should not be desirous of their manners. We should not be desirous of their ways. And the second part is, if we're not desirous of their manners and their ways, then we will not desire to be with them. Neither desire to be with them. They are to be avoided. They are to be avoided. Romans 16, verses 17 and verse 18. Again, I realize that there are times when we are in a position where we have to be with evil people. I realize that. But when we choose that over being with God's people, that's a whole different subject. Romans 16, verse 17, "Now I beseech you or plead with you, brethren, mark them." That means you must again discern. You must make some judgment. "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine." This would be a church relationship more. "Which ye have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They serve themselves. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So there, if we go back to Proverbs 24, we're not to be envious against evil men, we're neither to desire to be with them, and then the reason is given in verse 2. "For their heart studieth destruction." That is, they attempt to find ways to bring others down to their level. They love to do that. They love to bring a church-going person down to their level. They love that. They take delight in that. Therefore, we're not to desire to be with them. And their lips, this is the second reason, their lips talk of mischief, trouble. Then notice in Proverbs 28, verse 7, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." But he that is a companion, an associate, a partner, a friend of riotous men. Riotous has to do with unrestrained revelry, unrestrained partying, and disorder. The individual that is a companion of such brings shame, not only to himself, but brings shame to his father, brings shame to his family. So, those that are companions of unruly, disordered, undisciplined individuals, those that choose such for their companions and take some delight in being with them, will be drawn away in some degree from keeping the law of God, and will bring disgrace, and will bring humiliation upon themselves, disgrace and humiliation upon their family, and disgrace and humiliation upon the church of which they are a member. Proverbs 29, verse 3 says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. He that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." And what we want to notice in that proverb is that word "spendeth." What that simply means is he wastes his substance. The wisdom that comes from above will not allow you to keep company with the ungodly. And avoiding the company of the ungodly will spare you the path of waste. You know how many people have wasted their lives because they had a friend? Because they had a friend. And as we've said in the past, you talk to an alcoholic and you ask them when they got started drinking, and I can almost guarantee somewhere along the line in their story, I had a friend. I had a friend. How'd you get started in your dope? I had a friend. Better be careful who your friends are. And who your friends are, of course, says much about your character already. So in closing, in this world, again, we are social creatures. We need fellowship. We need friends. We need interaction. That's how God created us. But we must realize that there are people who are detrimental to us, who are detrimental to our spiritual condition. There are unsafe people. They're not safe to be around. You need to be able to identify unsafe people. And you must determine that you will never become an unsafe person. There are people that, again, are just plain toxic to the spirituality of God's people. There are also people that are spiritually beneficial to us. They help us spiritually. They don't tell us what we want to hear. They tell us the truth. These are people that are spiritually beneficial. A lot of people, they go from one friend to another friend to another to another, because as soon as this one doesn't tell them what they want to hear, they go to someone else and then someone else. But you see, a person who's good for you will not just tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you things that are beneficial to you, and they'll be looking out for your spiritual well-being. And they will not tempt you to do those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And they will not tempt you to go against your convictions, even if they do not have the same conviction. If someone has a conviction about not going to a certain place or not doing a certain thing, and you don't have that conviction, don't ever make fun of that. And don't ever try to get them to change your conviction. You should respect that and be of benefit to them spiritually. So again, there are people that are detrimental to us. There are people that are good for us. And it can be, unfortunately, it can be within a body of Christ. There are people that may be detrimental to us because of personalities or whatever. We need to be able to discern the difference between those that are good for us spiritually and those who aren't. We must be able to discern the difference, and the spiritually wise individual will choose the company of those that are good for him spiritually. Those that are good for us spiritually, those who encourage us to draw closer to God. Those who encourage us to be and to do what we ought to be and what we ought to do. So the Bible has much to say about companionship. These are things that you must always consider. These are things you must consider where you work. These are things you have to consider at school. These are things you had better consider before you get married. You'd better consider, carefully consider these things, because it'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your life. you'll throw your life away by being a companion of foolish people. Pick friends wisely. Choose friends wisely. And thank God for every friend who has a spiritual influence in your life. Thank God for everyone that God has brought into your life that has a spiritual influence in your life. You may not like the same things. You may not like, one may like sports, one may not like sports, one may like this, one may not. That's not what we're talking about. That's shallow. It's very shallow friendships. We want deep friendships, and those are based on spirituality. And a wise man chooses. Companionships that are good for him or her spiritually. So God help us to be able to discern between good and evil companionship. And God help us that we would be an influence for good and not an influence for bad. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.